Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is an update on the situation in the Ukraine. And what I want to focus in on is the potential economic impact of everything that's going on right now. So it looks like the conflict is going to go on for a prolonged period of time. The initial hope when Russia first made the invasion was that this would be a short affair and it would be concluded in a relatively quick space of time. That doesn't look like being the situation. And we've now seen a variety of sanctions that have been announced by most of the developed countries around the world. And those sanctions will hurt Russia, but they will also hurt the global economy because Russia is a very important part of the financial world. So what I wanted to do in this video is go through exactly what has been announced by all of the governments around the world. And that's predominantly looking at the ban on SWIFT payments. So we'll talk about that and what SWIFT payments are and what impact that will have on both Russia and also all of the countries who deal with Russia in terms of imports and exports, because there's a lot of them. We'll then talk about the restrictions that have been imposed on the Russian Central Bank, and that is a really important part of these sanctions. And that's already starting to hurt Russia, and we've seen a massive fall in the value of the ruble in the international markets, but it will also hurt them going forward in a lot of other aspects. And I'll talk also about some direct implications for Russian exporters. We'll then have a look at who is dealing with Russia in terms of imports and exports. And then I'll wrap up with an overview as to what I think the impact of all of this is likely to be on the global economy. Because the bottom line here is that if this goes on for a prolonged period of time, there is a high likelihood that this could lead us directly into a new global recession. We've been sitting on the precipice of that downturn for quite a long period of time now. Since we've come out of COVID and all of the restrictions, a lot of businesses and a lot of countries have got huge amounts of debt. So we've been waiting for a trigger event to come along, a black swan event, and this could very well be that event. But I'll talk about that more at the end of this video. So before we get started into all of this, if I could ask you at some point to give me a thumbs up if you're appreciating the content, I'd really appreciate that. And also don't forget that I include chapters in these videos. So if there's a section that's not that interesting to you, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next topic. So one of the first sanctions that was announced against Russia when the invasion started was that a number of the major Russian financial institutions will be banned from SWIFT. Now, SWIFT is the acronym for the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication. And essentially, this system is used by financial institutions all across the world for making payments. So if you're a company that imports or exports and you need to make payments to other companies in foreign countries, you will use SWIFT predominantly for making those transfers. So you tell your bank and your bank then speaks to the corresponding bank via SWIFT, and that's how the money moves. So this is the main payment system that is used by the whole of the financial world. Over $5 trillion worth of transactions move via SWIFT every single day, and that equates to over $1.25 quadrillion every single year. And quadrillion is not a number that you hear very often. So this system is really important for every single company that's involved in international trade. And over 300 Russian banks are signed up to SWIFT and use it on a regular basis. Now, we don't have the exact details of which banks are now being banned from SWIFT. And once we have that information, we'll be able to establish exactly how damaging this is going to be to Russia. If we see a large number of the Russian banks added to the banned list, then that is going to be absolutely devastating to the Russian economy. Because what it will mean is that all of the exporters and all of the importers will not be able to do business because they won't be able to make the payments, and therefore goods and products won't be moved in and out of Russia. Now, I don't think we will see all of the Russian banks and institutions included on this list because Russia is an important part of the supply network globally. So if we were to cut off all of the payment systems, then that would mean that we wouldn't see any further exports of raw materials and things like gold and precious metals and oil and energy. And if all of that was to stop overnight, we would see a massive problem in the global economy, because there are many countries around the world who are dependent on both Russian imports and exports. So although everybody wants to impose difficult sanctions for Russia and for them to feel the pain, what we don't want to do is shoot ourselves in the foot and cause a massive global crash overnight. But it is very likely that some of the high-profile banks in Russia will be added to the banned list for SWIFT, and therefore there will definitely be a major impact in Russia because of these sanctions. Now, of course, with any sanctions, there's always a way around it. And one of the loopholes here is a concept of nesting. And nesting is an idea whereby you aggregate payments so you could gather up all of the payments that were going to be made by the banned banks, and you could then divert those payments to one of the banks that is not in the ban. So effectively, you just aggregate all of the cash and then move it in a large lump sum, and then you'd need to disaggregate it at the other end. Now, clearly, there's a lot of complication with that, and that would be difficult, but it is a potential option for Russia if they want to continue to make payments, particularly large payments. So there is a way around this, but the authorities are aware of that, and I'm sure that everybody will be monitoring all of the transactions and looking at the volumes that are coming through from all of the established banks in Russia. And if there's suddenly a huge increase from one of those banks, then that would indicate that there is nesting going on and that money is being moved via a different institution rather than coming from one of the banned institutions. And probably the major sanction that has been announced against the Russian authorities is that they will no longer have access to their central reserves. Now, if you follow this channel, you'll know that we've spoken a lot about the Turkish Bank Central Reserves. And the Turkish Bank Central Reserves have been used predominantly to support the value of the Turkish lira in the international currency markets. And in 2021, there was a big devaluation of the Turkish lira, and the Turkish Central Bank spent over $10 billion in December trying to support the value. The sanctions that have been applied against Russia, and also the fact that they are now invading the Ukraine and therefore are losing a lot of business in international markets, is putting major pressure on the Russian ruble. The normal response to this from the Russian Central Bank would be that they would use foreign currency reserves to buy ruble in the international markets to support the price, because international currency markets are exactly the same as any other market. It's all about demand and supply. So if there's no demand, then the price will fall. So a central bank steps in to create artificial demand, which therefore keeps the price high. So that's how currency management works if you're a central bank. Now, Russia has declared reserves of around about $630 billion. So they've got a lot of reserves, which would be expected because they are an asset-rich country. They've got a lot of oil and gas and gold and other precious metals. So there is demand for Russian currency historically. But if we look at this table, which shows the split of the reserves that Russia has, you can see that $463 billion is held in foreign currency reserves. And of that figure, $311 billion is held in securities, so basically investments, and $152 billion is held in currency and deposits, so real cash. Now, the key thing here is that the Russian Central Bank is not sitting with all of these investments and all of this cash in a vault in Russia. All of these assets are held overseas. So this table shows the breakdown of the investments that Russia is holding. So the different colours here relate to different grades of risk. So the bottom section here is AAA risk, which is high level investment grade. That is the best quality risk that you can get globally. So you can see that around about 16% of all of Russia's investments are held in AAA rated assets. About 20% is in AA and about 34% is in single A. The remainder of this chart is gold and other assets. So the way this works in reality is that all of those investments are basically stocks and shares and treasury gilts and bonds from countries and companies all around the world. So Russia will be invested in US Treasury stock, and it might be invested into a lot of the major companies, so Apple and Google and Facebook and Tesla and all of these sort of things. So it will have a vast variety of investments. And as and when it needs to convert those investments into cash, it will contact the broker in the relevant country and liquidate that asset and convert it into currency. So the key point there is that all of these investments are held outside of Russia. And jumping back to this table, the $152 billion of currency and deposits are held with overseas banks and institutions. They're not held in a safe in Russia. So the impact of the new sanctions is that all of these assets have now been frozen. So Russia can no longer access any of this cash. So they are not able to liquidate assets and use the cash to support the ruble in the international currency markets. And as a result of that, we have seen the ruble fall by 30% on the first day of trading following the weekend of the invasion. And a major fall in the value of the ruble is going to hurt the Russian economy. If we jump back to the table of assets, the one area that the international markets have no control over is the gold reserves. Unlike most of the other countries around the world, Russia are holding their gold bullion in Russia. So on this table, you can see that they had around about $132 billion worth of gold as of January 2022, and the vast majority of that is actually within Russia. Now, it will be more difficult to dispose of that gold because the two main markets for gold bullion are London and New York. So most other countries around the world have holdings of bullion actually physically in London and New York so that it's very easy to be able to trade them as and when they need to cash them in. So those markets will be closed to Russia going forward. However, there is a strong secondary market, and I'm pretty sure that if Russia needs to cash in some of that bullion, then they will find buyers all around the world because there is always strong demand for gold, particularly at times of war, as we're in right now. Everybody moves towards physical assets, and gold has always been seen as a safe haven for investment value and a store of value. In 2021, Russia exported $493 billion worth of goods and products all around the globe. Oil and natural gas made up around three quarters of those exports, but there are also major exporters of other items such as metals, coal, wheat, aluminium, timber, fertilizer, copper, the list goes on. Now, the impact of the sanctions will make it more difficult for a lot of the companies in Russia to do trade. So we may well see a reduction in the amount of these exports. And the problem that we've got with that is that a lot of countries are dependent upon the volume of these exports. So we've talked a lot about Turkey on this channel. And as you'll know, Turkey is highly dependent on natural gas from Russia to create electricity in the country and also to supply households and industry with natural gas directly. So it can't afford to have any drop in the levels of the natural gas coming in. Otherwise, it will have a direct impact on the productivity of Turkey because they will then have blackouts, they won't have any electricity, and therefore the companies won't be able to produce everything for the export markets. So it's not just about hurting Russia. If we see a reduction in the amount of trade coming out of Russia, then that will have a ripple effect all around the world. It will definitely cause major economic problems in a lot of countries. In 2021, the total amount of exports to the EU was $188 billion, and the three biggest buyers were the Netherlands at $42 billion, Germany at $30 billion, and Italy at $19 billion. And the US purchased $17.5 billion worth of goods directly from Russia. And Russia is also a major importer for the global economy. In 2021, Russia purchased goods and products to the value of $296 billion. Its largest trading partners are China, which made up around 19% or $56 billion, Germany, which made up around 11% or $33 billion, and the USA, which is 6% or $17.8 billion. So these new restrictions that have been brought in with regards to SWIFT will make it more difficult for trade to take place. So all of the imports that Russia is buying are essentially goods and products that companies are selling from all around the world. So $17.8 billion worth of sales from the USA are now at risk. And if all of those sales do not take place in the next 12 months, then all of the companies that are selling those goods and products into Russia will suffer. They will be making losses, and therefore the knock-on impact will be felt in the US economy. So this will not be contained just to Russia. It will have a massive impact all around the world. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, the impact of the sanctions that have been brought in against Russia are already starting to cause problems within the Russian economy. We are seeing the value of the ruble crashing, and we're seeing a lot of international trade partners distancing themselves from Russia and not wanting to buy anything that is not absolutely necessary. So there will be a massive impact on the Russian economy. But the flip side of everything that's been brought in is that it will hurt the global economy, because Russia is an important supplier of various goods and services, and we're already seeing the price of those goods starting to go up. So oil has bounced above $100 per barrel again and is likely to remain high for the next few months. And natural gas has also spiked and is moving around in a very volatile manner. So all of the energy that comes out of Russia is now at risk, because nobody knows if the supply will continue or whether there will be disruption. And as soon as we have disruption in energy supplies, the price starts to spike. And the problem that causes globally is we are all dependent upon energy. And most countries around the world have to buy in an element of its energy. So as soon as there's an increase in price, that has a direct impact on the production prices for all goods and products. So we're already in a situation where we've got extremely high inflation all across the world, and this increase in energy costs will drive up that inflation further. The same goes for food. So Russia and Ukraine are big suppliers of wheat and oil and a variety of other food substances. And because there's now a threat to that supply chain, the prices of all of those different food materials are already rising. And an increase in food prices directly impacts on inflation and the value of the money in your pocket. So we've got a situation right now where a lot of countries around the world are trying to tackle high levels of inflation. And they're doing that by increasing interest rates. If the result of this conflict is that we see a further increase in inflation because energy prices and food prices, to name just two examples, continue going up, then that means that the interest rates will have to go up faster and higher than previously expected. And that's going to have a damaging impact on each individual economy, because all of the people and all of the companies in those economies that have borrowed money will then have a higher cost of borrowing, and it puts more pressure on everybody. So the knock-on impact of all of these sanctions is that it's going to put a lot of pressure on the global economy. And if we see this conflict going on for a prolonged period of time, then those sanctions are going to bite even harder, and we will see an even harder impact globally. So there is a really high possibility here that this war will cause a global financial crisis all across the world. We've been waiting for a black swan event. This could very well be that event. It's come out of the blue. Nobody really expected Russia to actually invade the Ukraine. They'd been building their forces for quite a long time, but we thought it was just posturing. It's now happened, and it's carrying on longer than everybody wants it to. And the longer it goes on, the more it is likely to cause a global recession. Absolutely no question about that whatsoever. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they occur. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up. If you want me to post more information about Russia, Ukraine, the impact on the global economy, and please pop a comment in the section below because I'm really interested to hear what people's thoughts are on this. I know that it's all over the news right now. I'm trying to give you a different perspective. I'm trying to look at the economic impacts and how all of these sanctions are likely to play out in reality. So thanks for watching, and I'll speak to you again soon.